Welcome to Settle the Ring. I'm your glorious, gracious, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer.
Don't forget to be the weather.
Yeah, I'm sick as a dog, but I'm here for the love of the game. I'm here to be the judge for this massive showdown. Batman versus Superman, eat your heart out.
Oh, God.
Godzilla versus Kong, you know, take a ticket. Because we got the next Frasier and Ali. Get the hell out of here. We got Doug versus Eric in the Hell in a Cell showdown. How do you feel about that? Doug Hummer.
He's going to regret this. I'm going to make him go running to his mommy more than he usually does.
Oh, Eric, how do you feel?
This is a different fighting game for me, so I don't care what he says.
Oh, you will.
It's Doug. Remember, this is Doug. Anything that comes out of his mouth, you can't take seriously
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of stuff goes in it, too.
Yeah.
Do plugs.
All I can say is that nobody has pissed me off more in like a 3-week span more than he has, so I get to let him have it.
No, you don't. It's just
right.
I'm calling it down the middle, and I'll take a point away if I have.
Well, no, I'm not going to get about it all the personal stuff, but I'll make sure to rip him about 3 or 4 new assholes.
Yeah.
Do
the plugs.
All right. Make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, mixler.com/dirtsheetdudes. We can be found on all major they can be found on all major podcast platforms. I have no idea what I'm saying right now. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. Right after AEW, when they finally fucking go back to Wednesdays, and after SmackDown on Fridays. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday nights, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be talking Vengeance 2005, which ironically featured a Hell in a Cell match between Batista and Triple H. And then also July 16th, we got coming up, we are going to be doing a countdown of the top 10 greatest superstars to never be WWF or WWE champion. Listen to Daniel and I Saturday, either morning or afternoon, depending on when Daniel is home for the Unscripted Unlimited podcast. We haven't done one in a couple weeks, but that's just because last week Daniel was out of town. This week he was a little under the weather.
We'll be back.
But we will be back next week. We're going to be, there's a lot of stuff we got to talk about. That's basically, it's our nerd show. It's characters, cartoons, comics, toys.
Women.
This is not the show to talk about women.
Men.
This is a show that you talk about, you know, you're fantasizing about about women, but it's never gonna it'll never come to pass. All right, and then also Sundays 3 p.m. Eastern time, listen to Daniel and Mindy with the Scaredy Cat show. What are you guys doing next Sunday?
Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, I've seen those.
Have you?
Yeah. They suck, but actually,
we're gonna do it.
And then of course Saturday nights, depending on that show, usually depends on what we're doing. I think next Saturday might be UFC, right?
Yeah.
If we get the time to fucking
watch it.
Yeah. All right. I'm done.
All right.
Let's do this.
So let's sell it in the ring, ladies and gentlemen. Hell in a Cell. We got the greatest battle of the 21st century. Doug, try not to be too big of a dick. For the love of God, this is just for content.
Yeah, I know it's just for content, but I still think it's a bad idea.
Good luck, Doug.
It's just for a show.
Same to you.
All right, let's start it off,
take
guys.
Your butt shut, because I'm going to sodomize you.
Gee, why? You better calm the fuck down. I don't need this energy. That one, I'm sick. Round one. The greatest Hell in a Cell performer. We're going to start with Eric.
I got Triple H. He's been in 9 appearances. He won six, lost three. I don't remember the third loss. I know he lost to Batista and Undertaker. Who else did he lose to? I forgot, but he's lost three, but been in the second most behind Undertaker. And I think all his matches, all his Hell in a Cell matches were fantastic. But I think he's the best performer in the Hell in a Cell. That's his playground.
All right.
He's a different character when he's in the Hell in a Cell.
Okay. So I'm gonna go with Undertaker on this one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Undertaker, like, he was in the first one. He's been in a lot of them. Yes, he's lost quite a few of them, and he's been in some bad ones. But the good ones he's been in have been really good.
Yeah.
And he's always, like, kind of created moments, you know. He's been a part of iconic moments in Hell in a Cell. You know, when Kane debuted, you know, he's part of that. He threw Rikishi off the cell. He threw Mick off the cell twice. He had a really good Hell in a Cell match with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 32. That match, you know, that Lumpy was just talking about with Triple H at, I think it was 29. Okay, that was really, or no, 28.
Yeah.
28. So, that was really good. Yes, he's had a couple of bad ones. I can actually think of three off the top of my head. Boss Man, Kane, and Punk.
Yeah.
But I really think the bad outweighs the good. The good outweighs the bad, I mean. And I think one of the more underrated Hell in a Cell matches that he had was actually at Survivor Series 2007 against Batista. And yes, Batista won the match, but Undertaker beat the shit out of him. And if it wasn't for Edge, you know, being dressed as a cameraman and, you know, Edge, that was around the time too where Edge was like, you know, hogging the spotlight and shit. Or like he was the Rated R superstar and all that shit. But yet, you know, Rated R, he was fucking Vicky Guerrero. That's not necessarily Rated R. That's more, you know, films that are banned in this country. Mainly because they're considered bestiality porn. But Undertaker to me is probably the best Hell in a Cell performer because of how many he's had, the iconic moments. Yes, some bad ones, but the good outweighs the bad. And the only reason why they were bad is because Boss Man was kind of over the hill.
Yeah.
The Kane thing, Undertaker was over the hill when he wrestled Kane in that Hell in a Cell, and Punk just didn't want to do business. So that Undertaker's my choice.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Uh-oh.
Eric, why is Triple H
this
over Undertaker here?
I think he's been in better matches in Undertaker than Hell in a Cell. I can think of three on the top of my head that were probably three of the five best Hell in a Cell matches. His matches Shawn Michaels at Bad Blood 04, Vengeance 2005 with Batista, and then Cactus Jack. Forget what that Royal Rumble thing, 2000. What, 2000?
Please just let me correct him.
No Way Out, 2000.
No Way Out, 2000. You're trying to put it over, and yet you don't even know the correct fucking date.
And then, of course, Armageddon one he was in too. So he was in at least 4-5 spring matches. I know he's had less matches, but I think his matches were better than Undertaker's, more than Undertaker.
All right, Dachi.
Okay, so Some of the better Hell in a Cell matches he's had. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
Well, Triple H only works good when he's working with friends of his. Shawn Michaels, friend of his. Batista sucked his dick for so long so he could get on the main roster. All right? And Mick Foley, yeah, you know, Mick Foley may not have been a close friend of his, but if it wasn't for the matches Mick Foley had with Triple H, Triple H would have been just some schmuck that, you know, basically had to hand job Shawn Michaels to get on TV. So, yes, of course, those were really good. Those were some of Triple H's best matches because we were working with his friends. That's the only time Triple H actually works good is when he's working with somebody he either likes, somebody that's trying to kiss his ass, or somebody who he basically dildoed with, you know, backstage for like 20 years. As far as Undertaker, yes, I said he had some bad ones. All right. But like I said, Boss Man was over the hill at the time. Undertaker himself should not have wrestled in that Hell in a Cell. As a matter of fact, Undertaker shouldn't have wrestled in the Hell in a Cell against Punk either, because he was not in the best health against, you know, at that time. But still, he had some of the better moments in Hell in a Cell. When you think of Triple H, like, to me, Triple H's best Hell in a Cell match was actually when him and Shawn took on Big Show and the McMahons in that Unforgiven 2006 in that handicap Hell in a Cell match. But again, Triple H is working against his in-laws. Triple H is his best friend. And to me, the most memorable moment of that match is when Vince had to eat out Big Show's ass. When he gave Big Show a fucking rim job. All right. So Triple H, I'm not taking, well, actually, yeah, I am taking a lot away from the guy. Triple H, yes, is one of the greatest Hell in a Cell performers. But Undertaker is the greatest because he was in the first. He's one of the better, I think he's a better performer than Triple H because he knows how to, he knew how to evolve. You know, in the game and make himself better by working hard. Triple H knew how to politically make himself better. All right. And Undertaker to me is just, he actually put in the work. Triple H just said, okay, I like this guy. Let's work with him. Undertaker actually had no problem working with guys that he didn't like. Because he tried, because he knew he wanted to give the fans what they want. Triple H wants to give the fans what he wants. I mean, not now. He's finally become a better person. Mainly because he knows how shitty Vince McMahon is now. So, you know, obviously, you know, Vince set the bar pretty damn low, so Triple H can actually just step over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Undertaker definitely. One is probably the best, in my opinion, the best Hell in a Cell performer. And you also can't forget the Hell in a Cell matches he had with Edge and Randy Orton.
True. Right?
Those were very underrated.
All right. You good?
For right now, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the blood pressure pills.
Yeah, you're going to need them. You both made great points. I think both very articulate. I'm kind of tired of hearing the Triple H only works well with his friends thing. We touch it over damn near every episode. And they're still
good.
They're still really good matches. So it's hard for me. They were spectacular matches. And you got to think, Undertaker didn't like Punk. There was rumors of heat backstage with him and Punk, and that match sucked. There you go. So there's just a couple things. I'm going to have to give the point to Eric here. I think he made some good points. And you gave him a point with the handicap match because that is one of Triple H's better matches that he left out. You kind of gave him that one. So you helped him there a little bit. The only thing you left out is match with Kevin Nash that I enjoyed a lot. But I think he touched on a lot of his match as well. And, yeah, I'm giving the point to Eric.
Yeah, there's more. I think there's more memorable matches, more memorable.
Already got that.
You asked somebody.
All right, we'll start with you now.
I'm going to finish my point, but people, fans, I think remember more Triple H's Hell in a Cell matches than Undertaker. At least in my opinion.
All right. So 1 point for Eric. And my brother's about to punch a hole through the wall. Worst Hell in a Cell match. Here we go. We'll start with you, Doug.
Oh, God, this is tough because we've had so many of them. I'm actually going to go with Randy Orton and John Cena from Hell in a Cell 2009. Okay? And the reason why I'm going to go with that is because this was the first Hell in a Cell that was PG. They finally decided to make Hell in a Cell a gimmick pay-per-view, but they did it in the fucking PG era where you're not supposed to bleed anymore. So already these Hell in a Cell matches were going to suffer. Because even the year before in the SummerSlam match with Undertaker and Edge, I think Edge still was able to bleed, and I think Undertaker did too. So already you have a pay-per-view that probably should have been, it should have become a pay-per-view 4 years earlier when you could have all this fucking brutality. Now you're going to have matches that are dampened by the fact that you're trying to make the product good for kids again. So, but John Cena and Randy Orton, I know you've said that it's like one of your favorite rivalries or whatever, or somebody has said it.
Yeah.
I never thought Randy Orton and John Cena had really good chemistry. I do think that they had some damn good matches. And I think they did have a stretch where they were really good. Unfortunately, this Hell in a Cell, which, by the way, they were going to break. Cena was going to break the rules and blade. He had the blade in his hand. Orton accidentally kicked the blade out of his hand. And Vince, they could see the blade, so Vince actually got in the referee's ear and said, get that fucking thing out of there. Like, no. He thought you could get it past us, not happening. No. And to me, it was a very lackluster Hell in a Cell match. I actually like both guys. So, but yeah, to me, that's just like wrong period of time to start the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view trend, mainly because of like now all the restrictions you're putting on the guys. And I get it was for health concerns, and I understand that, but yeah.
It is only so. I understand.
Right. I mean, you're going to give the point to Eric anyway just to piss me off.
No, I am down the middle. I am not a Earl Hebner, damn it. I'm a down the middle judge. And you both piss me off equally, so there's no bias. All right, Eric. Good opening statement, Doug. A little long, but good. Eric?
I'm going to do Seth Rollins versus The Fiend at Hell in a Cell 2019. What else is there to say in this about this? It was red, a red cage. It happened in like, kind of the dark. You couldn't see it. And it ended in a match stoppage. Yeah. That's all I'll say right now.
That's all you're going in?
Yeah.
All right, Doug. Try to defend why is it bad?
Okay.
Or why is it good? Good luck.
Yeah. Okay, so they booked themselves into a no-win situation.
Yeah.
Because there was no way you can have The All right, so there's no way you can have, like, that. There's no way you can have that match, like, with Seth Rollins and The Fiend, because obviously everybody's going to expect The Fiend to win the match, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily hoping. So they weren't, they didn't want to put the title on Fiend right away because it would be too soon. So they booked themselves into the corner. And it was red lighting because that's the Fiend's gimmick. Right? It's a match that shouldn't have happened. It could have been good, but the problem is that the way to make it good was to have the guy, was to have the Fiend go over, which is not what they want. I mean, they ended up putting a title on him anyway because they really didn't know what to do because they had to save face. But I just think that, like, to me, Randy Orton and Triple H lacked the brutality of Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins and the Fiend was brutal, but on so many different levels. Okay? And it was brutal because, like, you know, Seth Rollins was doing all this shit, but yet you have to have a guy that's superhuman that has to no-sell the shit. It was doomed from the beginning. Randy Orton and John Cena could have, you know, had the potential to be good. The problem is they did not deliver. Seth Rollins and The Fiend delivered the best they could, but they were boxed into a corner they could not get out of. They were trapped behind too many fat guys in an elevator.
Absolutely. All right.
That had too much gas.
Eric, you want to argue? You kind of stepped in too a little, right?
Yeah. That was a good point, Doug. Good job.
Go ahead. Why is John Cena and Randy Orton actually better than people?
That's actually better because I think they just had a better match and then a stoppage. I mean, that's. I just think, yeah.
You want to call it, or you got anything else?
Yeah, I call it.
All right, bud. Yeah, good round. I mean, yeah, you get the point, Doug. Because you are right. The PG nonsense. You both picked great choices. The only thing, Doug got you, Eric, because the match with The Fiend and Seth was good besides the finish. And obviously the audience getting pissed off and stuff. The whole match with Cena and Randy, you're right, it was kind of boring because of the PG limitations. It was a long time to do it, a Hell in a Cell.
I could have picked any Hell in a Cell match
in the PG
from that first Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It still would be worse than Seth Rollins and The Fiend.
I am gonna have to give the point to my brother here. It was a good point.
That's fair.
You are.
Yeah, I would have gave it to him too.
Yeah, you had a lot of good points there, and so that concludes our second round. Before we get into it, we're gonna do a slight intermission, and we will be back here after a minute. Please listen to our music.
Thank you.
welcome back to Settle the Ring, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer, for that commercial break, so we can order our pizza. How you doing, Eric?
Good.
He's doing good. 1-1, guys. Round 3. The competition's heating up. I'm sweating. I don't know if it's just because I'm sick, but I'm sweating. Eric, we're going to start with you here for round 3.
No fever.
Dream Hell in a Cell match that never happened.
I'm doing Mankind versus The Fiend. You got two absolutely nutty people. I think these two would put on a show. I mean, really, both great wrestlers. Yeah, but I think they, in Hell in a Cell, I think they would destroy each other. I think they would probably go up top on the Hell in a Cell, and Fiend would definitely knock him out and knock him off the cage. I think Mick Foley, as insane as he is, he would do everything to destroy him too. I think it would be, they would just bloody each other up.
Very good. Very good pick. Dougie.
Okay. So these two guys have fought each other a lot,
yeah,
but never inside Hell in a Cell except for one time, but there were other guys in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rock versus Austin inside Hell in a Cell.
I was going to choose that too, but I decided to do something else.
So you're
trying to butter me up.
No, I'm not trying to butter you up. But the reason why I'm picking that is because they've had so many really good matches that, like, and especially in, like, 2000, 2001, even, like, 1999, when they were really, you know, when they were really hot, you know, 99, 2001, to 2001, if they could have had that match, especially in 2001, when there was no Hell in a Cell match, like, at all. If they could have had that match, like, that would have just really added to the intensity of the rivalry. Because it was already an intense rivalry as it is, but you add in the violence of Hell in a Cell and the fact that, you know, Austin probably would not have taken a bump off the cell because of his neck and all that. And also in 2001, he had a bad back. Rock probably would have. Or he would have taken, or he might not have fallen like off the cell, but he would have fallen off the side.
Yeah.
So you add that, and you add just the intensity between two guys and how much they want to be better than the other. It's just, to me, Hell in a Cell matches have to feature rivalries where it's two guys that want to fucking kill each other. And to me, Rock and Austin, especially from 99 to 2001, where they were trying to prove that one is better than the other. Like, that is the best. That match should have taken place inside Hell in a Cell.
Agreed. All right, ding, ding. Eric, why is yours better than Doug's?
My idea is in dream matches better is because it's fresh, and I think this would probably be kind of a dream match that fans actually want to see. And in the Hell in a Cell, it would be fantastic. It's a fresh match. These two never have ever met, and it'll be interesting to see a new, fresh match in the Hell in a Cell.
Okay. You know what? Next time I see you, I'm going to tape up my fist like Hacksaw Jim Duggan used to do in WCW and punch you in the mouth. I don't know. Just because. Hence that frustration. But, yes, Mankind, or Mick Foley, or whatever incarnation you want to put inside Hell in a Cell versus The Fiend, yes, is a fresh match. But also, too, you got to remember, these are two guys that, like, they have to depend on the crazy spots, especially Mick, to get over.
Yeah.
You have Rock and Austin in a rivalry, and the Hell in a Cell is the next step of a cage match. It is an evolved cage match. You know, evolution, you know, so to speak. The evolution of the cage match, and cage matches are meant to settle rivalries. Austin and Rock is the biggest rivalry, or one of the biggest rivalries that that company had ever had. One of the biggest box office draws.
Yeah.
All right, in that Attitude Era. So why not have that inside Hell in a Cell?
Yeah.
All right. They don't need to count on their crazy spots. All they just need to do is beat the hell out of each other with chairs and ring bells. All right? And smash each other up against the side of the cell. They don't need it. Mick Foley lives and dies by the car crash spot.
Yeah.
All right? The Fiend lives and dies by the mind games. All right? Hell in a Cell is about brutality. And with as brutal a rivalry as Rock and Austin had, you put that inside Hell in a Cell?
Money.
It's money. It would draw. All right. And plus, you could probably get 20 to 25 minutes out of it. Mick and Fiend, you get about 8 to 10. You get about, I mean, yes, that's longer than I could probably last in the bedroom, but no, that's not saying much.
All right, Ding Ding. Good rap. Or wait, Eric. No, Eric went first.
Yeah.
Ding Ding. Okay. You both had great points. You're right that it does settle a feud, and it's a great, you know, for the spots. I think it would be great to see that feud in there. Eric, you made a good point how it's a fresh match. I don't think there's anything wrong with brutality in my games in a Hell in a Cell match. I got to give the point to Eric here. I'm sorry, Doc.
Yeah.
Got to go against one of my favorite feuds of all time. I just think it would make more of an interesting match, and I would watch that more. I've seen Austin and Rock in a cage before. I don't need to see him in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and I'm going to see that too.
love you, bud.
And I was trying to think outside the box, so.
Eric, you're not even allowed outside your box. How the hell can you think outside of a box?
We can't let you compete anymore. All right. Round four.
Sitting there fucking chained to a dungeon. He can barely reach his fucking iPad.
All right. Best Hell in a Cell match. Doug, we'll start with you while the passion's gone.
Best Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah, round four. This is... You got to get this one to stay in the game.
I don't even really fucking care about staying in the game because you're going to give the point to Eric anyway because
oh, no.
You know I'm going to get pissed. I'm going to say that the best Hell in a Cell match actually was, and this kind of goes against what I said earlier about Triple H.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's one of my favorite matches, and that's why we're going to talk about it this week, is Batista and Triple H inside Hell in a Cell and from Vengeance 2005.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I know I said that Undertaker was one of the greatest Hell in a Cell performers, but since you fucking sodomized me with a rusty fucking fish in night anyway, because you forget who takes you to work.
Oh, God.
And you also forget who paid for stuff because Eric never paid for a fucking thing in his life.
Oh, God. I gotta be impartial with the show. Come on.
Batista and Triple H is one of... Batista and Triple H actually is one of the best rivalries of that ruthless aggression era. And it was probably some of Batista's best work besides the stuff he did with The Undertaker. And Triple H, again, because Triple H liked the guy, Triple H was willing to help him. And this Hell in a Cell match, where Batista did take some shots, like for Batista looking like, you know, the dominant figure and all that he had. I mean, yes, Batista dominated inside Hell in a Cell, but if I recall correctly, Batista, and we'll know this week when we watch it, Batista did end up taking the shot with the tax.
Yeah.
Okay? But it was so brutal, and Triple H, you know, ended up taking time off after that. But it was such a brutal match, and to me, that feud just defines the Ruthless Aggression era. And to me, it's one of Batista's, like I said, best feuds and best match. The only other match I can think of, I mean, to me, even though I praised it earlier, I think this match actually beats out his Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker. So go ahead and try to beat that, you butt-fucking son of a bitch.
All right, Eric.
Go ahead and take the floor, bud.
Best match always was Shawn Michaels and Triple H at Bad Blood 2004. This was last match with the feud that they had that lasted almost a year and a half, or so. This was a brutal match. This is probably, I think, the longest Hell in a Cell match in history. These two just wanted to kill each other. Obviously, they've been going at it for almost a year for the title, but this was a non-title match. What I was just there to say about Shawn Michaels and Triple H, they performed one of the most beautiful, brutal Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
All right, I'm afraid to do this, but dig, dig. Go ahead, Doug. Why is yours better?
All right, first of all, Triple H versus Shawn Michaels was great, and it was the best part of a shitty Bad Blood pay-per-view, okay? The match was 40 minutes long, but I think they did that just because, they figured after the show, everybody that had to sit in attendance for the show was actually going to go and slit their wrists. So they actually didn't want the suicide rate to go up just yet. They tried to prolong it as long as possible, and they figured that they would cut the suicide rate down if Triple H and Shawn Michaels actually delivered. But also, it's cruel. It's cruel punishment to make people sit even longer through a pay-per-view after they've already sat through, 2 hours of shit. As far as my pick, as far as that being the best Hell in a Cell match, look at what Batista did in that match. Look at what Triple H did in that match. Look at that rivalry. And the fact that, Triple H and Shawn Michaels kind of feuded on and off. But Triple H was getting shit in 03 and 04 because business was going down. And it was actually brought to Vince's attention that business was going down because of Triple H. Right? So Triple H had to do something to redeem himself. And like I said earlier, he works best when he's with his friends. So Shawn Michaels is his best friend. So therefore, he said to Shawn, he goes, look, these assholes are realizing that I'm killing the business. You got to help me. Now, the thing with Batista was he was trying to help Batista get over. So he finally is helping somebody get over. And Batista got over. And I think if it had not been for Triple H willing to help him, he probably wouldn't have. Because Eddie Guerrero would help him later on in the year, and Undertaker would help him out. And, even to an extent, JBL helped him. But it was Triple H's kind of stamp of approval, like anybody really cared at that point. It was Triple H's stamp of approval that that really got Batista over. And this match really cemented, I think, Batista's run as champion. And you knew after this his run was going to go on forever. As a matter of fact, it didn't end until the world's strongest botch machine fucking beat him up and then tore his bicep.
All right, Eric.
Why is yours better?
Can you go first?
Mine is better because this rivalry was, I think, better. They were best friends turning to enemies. They had brutal matches for this. They fought for the title. They just had brutal matches, and I think this match to end it was just the icing on the cake.
Of course you think this rivalry is better. You'd lick Shawn Michaels' ass if he sat down in front of you.
That's his argument. No. You put those hands down. You want to finish up, Eric, or you got anything else?
No, I kept it short and sweet.
Okay. All right, we're going to end the round. I think you both had really good points. Eric's debating a little classier, but Doug's getting passionate, and we appreciate passion.
I think you both had good points. One place you lost me, though, Eric, I do not think that the Triple H Shawn Michaels rivalry was better than the Triple H Batista rivalry. And
that's fair.
I enjoy the story of Batista leaving Evolution and the whole thing going into that more than Triple H and Shawn Michaels just hating each other because of the old DX stuff. I love both matches.
Yeah.
Gotta get the dog.
Yeah, I couldn't shit on Batista and Triple H. So that's why I kept it short and sweet. So I like
right,
that rivalry too. So
we got a tie.
That's fair.
2-2. I'm going to put you both on the spot here. Sudden death.
Good luck, Doug.
If you had to pick any two AEW stars, male or female, to make a headline, Double or Nothing, with a Hell in a Cell match, who would it be?
You can take this one, Doug, first.
You take the gimmick of Hell in a Cell, you put it in an AEW ring for the first time. Who's the two guys you put in it? Obviously, this could never happen because of trademarks, but...
Well, they could always call it the Thunder Cage.
Yeah.
Shit. I would actually say John Moxley and even though they're back together and all that, I would say John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. And the reason why I would say that is because they would bring the brutality. Now, again, you can't have this match at Baltimore because Chris Cruz will stooge on you. But I do think that if you put these two inside a structure like that and say, just be violent. That's like... That's like if you tell the two of them, you know, just be violent. That's like telling a bank robber go rob a bank, or that's like telling a serial killer, go stab somebody. Okay? Basically, you don't have to tell those two guys to be violent in order for them to be violent. Usually they're handcuffed. But in this environment where you can unhandcuff them, unlike what Eric is in his house right now, where he's chained to a wall, the things these two would do to one another, even though they're friends, inside a structure like this, especially if they're told you got to be as violent as possible, you got to fucking look like you're going to fucking kill each other, and you have to send this crowd home happy. Eddie Kingston, as much as I don't like the guy, he could be as violent as anybody. John Moxley can be as violent as anybody as long as you take the shackles off them and say, just be you.
Okay. Eric, who do you got?
Boy, I had another one in mind, but I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with Darby Allin and John Moxley. I mean, you got Darby Allin, who will do anything you tell him to do. He's violent as it gets. And then obviously John Moxley, who's violent as it gets too. I think these two would just destroy each other in Hell and stuff. And I think it would be fantastic.
All right, Doug, why would you rather see Kingston over Allen? I know this is going to be hard for you.
Yeah, Darby Allen is my favorite, and Eric, I think, is trying to, like, soften me up, but you pissed me off too much over, like, the last month and a half to where, you know, buttering me up isn't really going to work. So as far as Darby Allen goes, I do think that he would make a really good Hell in a Cell performer. The problem is that he would rely too much on the big spots of jumping off the cell and all that shit.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Mick Foley did, what, two bumps off of a cell of, you know, at the, in that 98 match.
Yeah.
Darby would top and say, oh, fuck it, I'll do it three times.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would destroy each other. I think Moxley would destroy Darby, and Darby would destroy himself. I think with Kingston, you kind of get more of like an even playing field of Moxley or Kingston wouldn't take like the high risk. Kingston would bring a fucking like switchblade into the cell with him, and basically try to perform try to give Moxley a sex change in the middle of the basically cutting his nuts, you know, like most women do to Eric. So that's why I think like, and again, I love Darby Allin. I like Darby Allin more than I like Eddie Kingston, but I think that Moxley Kingston would be better brutality wise, and it would be more of an even matchup than Moxley Allin.
Very good. All right, Eric, your rebuttal. This is for the game, bud.
Go ahead, you cast
my rebuttal. I think Darby Allin and Moxley would sell more tickets. I think that would be more memorable, especially because
they sell more tickets. Right. AEW would put them actually in the ticket booth and actually have them give the tickets out.
You keep interrupting them. I gotta give.
I think fans would fans would enjoy that more and would pay money to see that back more. And you talk about spots. Spots are what made Hell in a Cell memorable and famous because the Mankind getting thrown off the cage. Those spots are redone like when he did it to Shane McMahon a couple, 15 years later, 20 years later. So those spots are what fans want to see.
All right. Is that going to do it? All right, ding, ding. The fight's over. A piece of love. I want to hear I love you from both of you.
I ain't going to fucking tell him shit.
Okay.
Good job, Doug.
Same to you, you stupid.
No! That was close enough. All right. I think you both had very good points. Again, I thought this was a hell of a close game, close round, close fight. Eddie Kingston and John Moxley would be a great match, I believe.
Oh, here we go.
And so would Darby and Moxley. I do think Doug made very good points about how it could be over usage, overselling, you know, and be too one-sided. I thought all that was good, and I thought Eric made some good points. Your face is red. And I thought Eric made some great points about how Darby, he's kind of built for the Hell in a Cell. It seems like his type of match. I am going, and by the way, before I give this point, I got to have you both agree. Nothing but respect afterwards. After this, it's done and the fight's over and there's no more, okay?
Yeah, once he starts spending money.
All right. Here we go. I am going to have to give the point to my brother on this one and the game. I do think the Eddie Kingston argument was just beat the Darby Allin argument by just a nudge because you sold it in the right way. With him and Moxley know each other and they have great chemistry and they'd be brutal against each other and be a little less one-sided.
It's like the Triple H Shawn Michaels thing.
Yeah. So I will give you the point. Eric, hell of a fight.
nothing but respect to you, buddy. You defended your title,
and you will be back. You did really well. I can't stand you, but you did really well.
And I love you, Eric.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, guys. This was a hell of a settle at the ring. Doug, you are the new champion. Eric did very well, and we will see you back in the ring. Do you have a post-fight interview you want to say?
Great job, Doug.
Thank you, Eric. You were a formidable opponent, and deep down, I really do love you.
Okay.
I know.
I mean,
all fun and games, as I said.
You have to put a plunger down there to get the love out, but it is deep down.
All right, guys, this is great. We will see you all on Friday for our next episode for Unscripted Wrestling. And have a great night, everybody. Bye.
Yep. Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking the bamboo, sipping on pop.